denigrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
And you want why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm straight there. You know, I told you today that my mind is like, I'm ADD. I got stuff running through my brain all the time here. I just had something, just before we went on the air, I had something pop into my brain that I figured I better get up for everybody to look at. And I talked to Siri, my good friend Siri here on the phone, and she hadn't been cooperating with me very well lately. And I don't know. But, you know, it's like I always say, last thing I need is another woman telling me what to do. So hang on here. I'm punching something in there. Hey, we got some room on the queue today. Jump in here, folks. Jump in here. Here we go. Nothing to do. Oh, that's a B. That's what I'm running. Hey, good morning. This is the coach. Coach Dave, we're passing the salt here. I got a lot to do. I'm heading out the door here in a little bit to head to, where am I going? MISSISSIPPI have nothing to do with the. There we go. No. Unfruitful. There we go. There we go. Hey, you know what today is? You know why I'm going to go to Mississippi? This is one of the little known facts in American history. Mississippi was the first state to legalize abortion. Most people don't know that. They think abortion was legalized Roe versus Wade. May 8th, 1966, Mississippi was the first one to legalize it. So we're going down to Mississippi. We're going to have a real Mother's Day. Mother's Day, of course, is what, Sunday? So we're having a rally down there to commemorate. That's not the right word. Certainly not to celebrate, but to commemorate what took place down there in Mississippi on Mother's Day. We're celebrating on Mother's Day. So that's where we're heading. As you know, we're relentless about the abortion issue. Blood guiltiness. I believe that until we really, really come face to face and deal with that issue, none of this stuff's gonna stop. A lot of things to talk about today. We got to become stand-up guys. I got an article that was in our Newark Advocate. I'll share that with you here today. Some weenie pastor. I hope he's listening. I hope he's stinking listening. I told him to. That's right. He wrote something in our local paper about our target protests. And I called him. And what a weenie. What a weenie. You know what we have to begin to do, fellas? Listen. We have got to begin to confront stuff that's wrong. We just can't anymore. Had a funny thing happen last night, JR. I play in a golf league. And I jokingly call it the Pirate League because the guys that I play with, there's about 50 of us. My nephew runs the golf league. And my brothers, two brothers are in it. My son's in it. A lot of Dobenmeyers playing in this golf league. I call it a pirate league because they're just all pirates. They're just all absolutely lost guys. I mean, it's really something. They're good guys, though, and tried to share the gospel with them while they're getting out there pounding their beers and getting drunk and doing all that stuff. I believe we need to rub elbows with those kind of guys. Got freezing cold last night. It rained. Oh, my goodness. Rained sideways. I wasn't dressed for it. I got cold. Didn't have any fun, couldn't feel my hands, but other than that, hey, it was a great time. Hope you don't mind my sunglasses. I'm going to travel today, so I got to have those on. But I walked up, we all gathered around, and before first league night, we all gathered around, went over the rules, and you would not believe these pirates, that's what I call them. One of them said, hey, coach, I'm with you, those homos. because it was all over, you know, it was all over our local paper. And I just kind of looked around. And I thought, you know, this is, you talk about salt of the earth. You talk about salt of the earth. Here they are. Sure, they're lost, but they have some modicum of decency, and they have some understanding of what's supposed to be going on in the world. And they know that a man isn't supposed to pee in a bathroom with a woman. They understand it. Why is it Christians are so blind to it? My greatest frustration, and I can feel JR's frustration, although he hadn't given him a chance to say it this morning, is it comes back to the same thing. Why don't we push back? What is going on? When I did the video the other day on where are the pastors, I thought it was a legitimate question that the pastors ought to be standing up and leading this battle to try to, you know, turn back the forces of darkness. I want to show you something. I know you've seen it. Looking at my phone here real quick. Open up your Bible real quickly, and we're going to go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. You know, we talk a lot about wrestling not against flesh and blood, and it is a wrestling match, and there's a spiritual world, and there's a natural world, and there's a spiritual world. Oh, I'm going to blow your mind on this. And I saw on a video the other day, Area 51. You guys know where that is out there? What is it? Nevada, someplace out there, Area 51, where supposedly the UFO crashed. I saw an interview with a guy who works out there. Are you ready for this? He said the UFOs are interdimensional. They're interdimensional. Now, what does that mean? Well, a natural world, spirit world. The eight UFOs are spirits who've figured out how to get down in here. I know that sounds crazy. But you know, one of the great deceptions, they said that the deception would be so great at the end that if it were possible, the very elect themselves would be deceived. And I remember Richard Dawkins a few years ago when he was talking about evolution and where we came from. He let the cat out of the bag because Richard Dawkins says, well, it's possible that we were seeded here from another planet. Open that door for the UFOs to show up, and the UFOs are going to show up, and they're going to say we're an intelligent race. We've been here for millions of years, and we planted you here. We've been watching you, and you guys got it all screwed up, and so here, follow us. We're being set up for that. Now, you think I'm crazy. You just know that I planted that in your brain. Google it. See what I'm talking about. So Ephesians 5 begins to talk about that spiritual war, and I try to always bring us back to it, that we would understand that's what we're talking about. The war going on around us is spiritual, but for some reason we don't get it. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 5 real quick. Ephesians 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Some wrath coming. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. It's critical. Don't get caught up doing that same stuff. Don't be partakers with it. In fact, Romans 1 says the same thing. Can you keep your finger there? Go real quickly back to Romans 1. I'm going to correct it to you. It's only about four chapters back. Turn left. Romans 1:32 says this. Who knowing the judgment of God, talking about us, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So we're watching all the sin all around. It's like I alluded to yesterday, people shacking up in church, shacking up and going to church and thinking it's Jesus is just all right with it. Back to Ephesians. We're giving hearty approval to it. Hearty approval to it. Somebody, there are no space travelers. Interdimensional makes sense. Come on, there ain't anybody on any other planet. It's interdimensional. Verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. How's the fruit of the Spirit? Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's how you know that you're walking in the Spirit. There's goodness, there's righteousness, and there's truth. Boy, we could preach right there, couldn't we? That's what's proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That's Romans 12 also. Presenting your body living sacrifice, whole acceptable unto God, your reasonable service. Be not conformed by the world, but transformed by the way you think. And then this one. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. It'd be good enough if we stopped right there. See, that's where most Christians want to camp, right there. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Have no fellowship with it. And so people say, oh, that's good. I'm going to stay away from porno shops. I'm not going to watch porno, and I'm not going to drink beer, and I'm not going to take part in Halloween, and all this stuff, right? Oh, but we don't finish the verse. What? And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, reprove them. It's not enough just not to hang out with them. They have to be exposed. As Christians, guys, listen, confrontation is not, for the most part, in the nature of a natural man, of a spiritual man, a Christian man. That's not our nature. It's not our nature to confront. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Expose the unfruitful works of darkness. That's not a very comfortable verse in my mind. But silence is not golden. Silence is yellow. And we see things that are going on that are unfruitful. They're unfruitful works of darkness. They are works of darkness and they're unfruitful. We have an obligation to expose them. I said to my wife last night before I went to bed, and this is a pat on the back to all of you, really. If we weren't doing Target, who would be? Who would be? And why are some people so unwilling to... Why are the unrighteous so bold? Because that's just opposite of what the Scripture says. The Scripture teaches us that the righteous are as bold as lions. The righteous are bold. Why have we in the church taken the righteousness and hidden it under a bushel and allowed the unrighteous to be loud and boastful and boisterous and walk around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may desire? Well, I think a lot of it has to do because we're not exposing the unfruitful works of darkness. So I get a local paper. Somebody emails this to me. No, I'm sorry. Snail mails it to me. It's in our local paper. And then this Christian puts at the top of it. Here's a headline of it. Bathroom protesters ignore real harassment victims. You know where this is going, right? It's from the Reverend Dwight Davidson. Hey, I can talk about him because I called him. And then the person that sent it to me, they put a little clip at the top. Pay attention, coach. I am a Christian, and I agree with this man. You should too. Don't cause trouble. They sent it to me. And I go last night to my pirate golf league where they're all unsafe.
I'm sorry.
And what are they doing? What are the unsaved guys saying to me? Thanks. Thanks for fighting those homos. That's what the unsaved guys are saying to me. And then I got saved people saying we shouldn't be doing anything about it. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, what's going on at Target? Is that darkness? Is that unfruitful works of darkness? Yeah. I'm not going to take the time to read this. Just let me throw this one in your spirit here this morning. I spoke to this guy, by the way, guys. You ready? He's a former fundamentalist. Hey, Larry, how do you do that? How do you become a former fundamentalist? And then I come to find out that here he pastors in Granville, Ohio, which is where Denison University is, and he has transgendered people in his congregation. Now, I'm trying to keep my cool. I was really trying. I wanted to ask, how many? How many you got? How many have you met in your whole life? How many have you met in your whole life? Transgendered people. And so he makes a directive that our showing up at Target is unchristian. That's the point he's making. It's unchristian to pick on these poor people. And I had a conversation with him for about 25 minutes, and he could not understand I wasn't talking about transgendered people. I was talking about men walking into girls' bathrooms. It's I don't know what to say. But, again, what's our job? To have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but expose them. Where? Where are we supposed to expose it? Everywhere we see it. Everywhere we see it. Especially in the church. This dude calls himself a pastor. He writes they give him a whole page column. I said, pardon me, pastor. Instead of talking about me in the paper, did it ever dawn on you that according to Matthew 18, you're supposed to call me? Talk to me as a brother? Rather than call me a bigot and homophobe and hate monger, you guys know how it goes. So we're in the mess that we're in because we will not expose the unfruitful works of darkness. Wherever we see it, we're supposed to be able to do it. Ephesians 5. I have a reason why. Excuse me. Any comment on that? Any comment? Here's a promise. You're going to be hated of all men. You're going to be hated of all men.
You got to put a link on that on your Facebook page so folks can see it.
You know, that's a good idea, JR. I don't know if I can go there and figure out how to do it. Listen to this. Are you ready, bud? This guy's never met me, never talked to me. He has now. Rather, it feels to me like the arguments about safety are mostly a smokescreen obscuring something else, the deeper and more troubling issue. The recent Target protesters have unmasked is the desire on the part of some to intimidate the LGBTQ community and transgendered people in particular by implying that they shouldn't exist in our society because it isn't God's will. This was implied by many of the placards at the recent local Target protest. Now, guys, I was there. Did anybody say they shouldn't exist? This guy goes on to say how they're just part of... Here's how he concludes it. We all want restrooms to be safe for everyone, except little girls and women. They don't want it safe for them. Do you suppose there's more registered sex offenders in Licking County or transvestites, transgenders? What do you think is more of? We all want restrooms to be safe for everyone, including transgender people who I believe are also made uniquely and wonderfully in the image of God. And I long for the day when more people will be open to see that for themselves. He's talking about me, see? Hey, guys, it's a minister of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Former fundamentalist. Former one. I'm not gonna camp on that. I got something the Lord wants me to share with you today. Hey, Jared, just as a kind of a just kind of a crossover here, let's play that video of Elizabeth Johnson. You know, Elizabeth Johnson made a video. You guys know if you guys know this, it's got 80,000 hits in 2 days. I said, listen, you got a great voice, Elizabeth. She's a beautiful mother of 10 children. She did a video the other day talking about mama bears. Which one are you going to play there, Jared? You play that one first? Can you get that one ready? It's about two minutes. Yeah, this one. Before we play this, Elizabeth, she kills him. You know why? She's a Christian woman. She's pretty, pretty, articulate, feisty, doesn't have her hair in a bun and her dress clear down to her ankles. And 10 children.
Barefoot and pregnant.
Barefoot and pregnant. Uh-huh. This is a powerful video. It's got 80, last I checked yesterday, 80,000 hits in 2 days. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
The activist mommy. I want to weigh in on this whole ridiculous transgender bathroom fiasco. I really cannot believe that we have come to the place where I have to make a case for why it's wrong for a man to be in a woman's restroom. I'm a mom with 10 kids, and my kids should not be having to worry about this stuff. They should be playing on the playground, and instead I'm having to teach my kids how to beat up bad guys in public bathrooms. I mean, that's right, Mama Bear. You better be getting your kids into some martial arts classes and learning how to groin kick and poke out the eyes of some pedophiles if necessary. Let me ask you something. How is it that 0.1% of the population have 99% of the population scrambling to accommodate their hurt feelings? Why is our country being bullied into accommodating a very small group of unstable individuals?
Unstable.
Where's the fight in us? Furthermore, what has happened to our intelligence? Transgenders want you to completely ignore science and biological fact. The facts are you're either XX, female, or XY, male. We each have a biological sex. It's in our DNA. If you don't feel like being XY anymore, even though you are XY, it will never change the scientific fact that you are XY. Surgery won't change it. High heels and bras won't change it, for that matter. Oh, and have you seen the reports out there now of the people who are saying they identify as animals, cats, dragon lizards? So what? Are we now going to accommodate what they identify as in the public restrooms with kitty litter boxes? What in the dadgum world are we doing? This used to be a great... Why are we letting these people run the show? We are being bullied. Thankfully, some real men and patriots are standing up in states like North Carolina and Florida and Alabama, and they're saying no to this perversion. Lord bless them. We need more like them. This is what we have to do. Yes, boycott the businesses that are foisting this insanity on us, but also we need to draft and introduce an ordinance in every city in this nation that prevents men from visiting little girls' bathrooms. The city council meetings of every city in this nation ought to be standing room only, filled with God-loving patriots, demanding that the council members protect their constituents from this danger and immorality. Listen, I love all people. I'm a loving person. I love transgenders. You can come to my house. We can have dinner, chat, have a Bible study, whatever. But you're not going to be in the bathroom with my little girl. And you should not be in the bathroom with my little girl in a public restroom. We have got to push back now while we have the chance, people. If you like the video, share it and add the hashtag pushback. Thank you and God bless you.
And Jude 22 says, and if some have compassion making a difference and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. JR, let's talk a little bit, man. What's going on here in Columbus, Ohio? So let's put JR's picture, put that up there. JR's making some signs. Scroll up and down those for a second, JR. If you're watching it, guys, all you got to do, I don't know if you have to click it on the screen or not. I just clicked on mine and pop up there. Stop targeting. Can you get that to slide there? Stop targeting our children. Stop targeting our children. That's good. Stop targeting Christians. Your sex, restroom, question mark. You know, you say, Coach, this is so stupid. Why are you worried about that with all things going on in the world? Well, because it's before us right now, and it needs to be dealt with, for sure. Anybody have a comment on that? JR, yeah, give him a little shout-out of where you're going to be this Saturday. I'll be in Jackson, Mississippi. And by the way, if you go to protectrestrooms.com, there's a place you can register there. There's a lot of information there, some videos there. Jared's done a great job of getting that thing up and running for us. It's called, again, protectrestrooms.com. Where are you having yours, JR, for anybody here in the Columbus area might want to get involved?
Columbus, Ohio, North Columbus, Easton Shopping Center. And it's 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. Linda Harvey, I understand, is going to be there from Mission America, along with hopefully hundreds of others. Cast of thousands.
Amen. Amen. We're having one in Jackson, Mississippi. There's some others that are being organized. You know, again, guys, I don't know what we do. JR, give us a little bit of a little bit of feedback on some of the efforts you've made with the pastors and what the reaction has been.
Well, I've got a couple pastors that have responded. It was like a week out from Saturday, so I have to respect that they have their schedules pretty tight. They want to try, a couple of them want to try to make it. The other pastors that I sent information to, I haven't heard back from. That's not unusual. I've asked them to go to abortion clinics, and if they respond to me, whether I give them a month or 2 weeks or 2 years, it just doesn't seem to work into their schedules.
Yeah.
And I want to be led by pastors. I don't want to be out there. I want the pastors to be out there leading.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's good that you did that, JR, because it's leading into what I want to talk about today. Turn to John 11. John 11. We've all heard the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead by Jesus. This is the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. But there's some really, really good nuggets in here that I would like to share with you. And again, I always try to help you understand, guys. These aren't just stories. I mean, in fact, the Bible says that if it were possible, if everything that Jesus did had been recorded, it would fill all the books ever written. So they just pull out little nuggets of stories that we get to read about. And it's because there's not stories. There's great spiritual truths and principles buried deep inside these. I got about 15 minutes before I go. I want to break this open. So you know the story, right? I don't have to read the whole thing to you. You start reading in Matthew 11 and find out that Lazarus has died. And let's go to John 11. Let's go 24 real quick. In fact, let's go to 19. Y'all there? I've got to get through this here. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Funeral procession. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. That preached too right there. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. We always love to question the Lord, right? If you'd done this, where were you, man? Lord, where were you? We already saw yesterday talking about John the Baptist. He let John the Baptist get his head cut off. Jesus said, your brother shall rise again. Martha said, well, I know that. Last resurrection, I know that. Jesus said, no. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Hey, guys, remember we talked about that yesterday? The old Adam became a living soul. The new Adam became a quickening spirit. Jesus is giving us a foreshadowing of this right here. And 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this, he says to Martha? She said, yeah, Lord, I believe that. And when she had so, she went away and called her sister Mary. Mary came out and everybody shows up. I'm flipping over now to pay because I want to get this done. Let's go to verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and she saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. Second accusation they made of Jesus. Second accusation they made of him. Hey, Lord, had you been doing your job and watching, this wouldn't have happened. When Jesus, therefore, saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which were with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. Then he said, Jews, behold how he loved them. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died, still accusing Jesus? We always want Jesus to do something for us. 38, Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, came to the cave. A grave, I'm sorry. It was a cave and a stone was in front of it. Stay with me now. I'm getting to the crux of it. Get this picture. Everybody's watching. And they all been giving Jesus a hard time because he let Lazarus die. You'd been here, wouldn't have happened. Where you been, man? Haven't been out there preaching around. He'd been here in the church, taking care of office here in the church. It wouldn't have happened. So they're all watching now. Jesus has groaned twice. Don't you wonder what those groans were? Don't you wonder what he was groaning about? And Jesus said, verse 39, all right, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, no, man, it's going to stink. He's been dead 4 days. Don't do that. Jesus said unto her, said I not that thou, unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hearest me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of these people stand here, I want them to know that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He's still doing this as a proof to them. Still not where I'm heading. Stay with me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus! Come out of there! Come on down! Isn't it good he just didn't say to everybody, come on down or come forth? The old graves would all popped open probably. Called out specifically, Lazarus! Come on down, Lazarus! Here's where I'm heading. This is our job. And he that was dead, and he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Here's what I think we're dealing with. This is one of my favorite scriptures, one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible. Jesus brings resurrection, physical life to Lazarus. Lazarus has been dead in the grave for 4 days, and Jesus speaks a word of life to Lazarus, and Lazarus is physically resurrected. And I want you to see what happens here. And verse 42. I'm sorry. Verse 44. And he that was dead, the old Adam, came forth bound hand and foot in grave clothes. In a way here, Lazarus is the first born again man. Now, not born with the Spirit of God. The old Adam is resurrected. Adam is a picture of a born again man. Now, I want you to see this, guys. Don't let this slip by you. And I would say that this is a picture of the modern American church, particularly the modern American male. Look here. 44. And he that was dead came forth. That was me. Is that anybody else? Were you dead? Did you come forth? I did. And look at this. Bound hand and foot with grave clothes. I believe there are a lot of guys born again who are still bound. They're still wrapped up in their grave clothes. They still have not been able to escape that past life that they were living. They are still bound, wrapped up, got a veil over their face. Born again, powerless. And in fact, it's interesting to me that after Jesus allows Lazarus to come forth, look what he says. The last verse in verse 44, he says to the men around him, loose him and let him go. Loose him. And we have so many men in America who are bound up hand and foot in religion and old dead grave clothes that do nothing at all for them. And they're afraid to do anything. Their eyes are shut. They're bound up. And the world around them is imploding. And I believe the Lord is giving us a picture here of what has happened to our church. We have men who are born again and bound. Tied up. And he's saying to Larry and Kevin and Roger and JR and Rich, and Dylan, Jared, you guys loose them. You loose them. I breathe life back into them. But they're tied up. You loose them and let them go. That's where we are, guys. It's exactly where we are. We have powerless men of God in our churches. I'll use this as a witness. Does anybody know what today is? National Day of Prayer.
Yeah.
That's it, right? That's our big day. That's our big day, boys. Let's go pray. Pray what? Well, we can see right here, the Lord's already, he's already resurrected us. He's already had that dead man die, and he's resurrected us in new life, and yet we're still bound up. So we'll have all the potentates and all the pastors. They'll probably go to the National Day of Prayer, although they don't really. In my experience, a pastor will show up and pray at the National Day of Prayer if he's been invited. But if he's not invited, he's probably not going to show up at the National Day of Prayer. I want to know, when's the National Day of Action? Does anybody know when that one is? I'd like to organize a National Day of Do Something. A National Day of Pushback. We've got the National Day of Prayer. Let's do the National Day of Action. We've got the National Day of Faith. Let's do the National Day of Works. And until we move beyond that, we're never going to get there. But what's happened, Roger Weaver's church is full of men who are born again and bound. So's JR's and so's Rich's. We come in contact with them all the time. Bound up in fear, worry, busyness of life. Unable to serve the Lord because they're, see, I'm not saying they're not born again. I'm not saying they're not going to go to heaven. I'm saying they're bound up. And he said to us, you loose him and let him go. Get the picture? There stands Lazarus. The Lord says, I've done all I can do. I breathed life back into him. You guys are going to set him free. Because the only thing that's going to set him free is the truth. You're going to know the truth and the truth's going to set him free. All right, I got 5 minutes. Comments?
Could a mariner sit idle if he heard the drowning cry? Could a doctor sit in comfort and just let his patients die? Could a fireman sit idle, let men burn and give no hand? Can you sit at ease in Myrtle Beach, Columbus, Ohio, in California, New York, Texas, and let the world around you be damned?
Good question, JR. Who said that?
Leonard Ravenhill.
Ravenhill.
Yeah, but he left out Columbus, and he left out...
Well, they have National Day of Prayer here. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, I have no idea how or why this happened, but the scriptures you had us at this morning, I had just... Matthew or John 16:23 written down beside those verses that you just went over, and with no other notes. I did not tell myself why I referenced that, and I went to John 16:23, and I have been asking the Spirit to bring back to me the key verse that demonstrated to me in my spirit, in my life, that God loves certain kind of people. You know, I said there's only one or two places in the Bible where it actually talks about God loves present tense. And by golly, this was one of them. It says, for the Father, and Jesus has been talking to his disciples. He says, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me
Was that, Larry?
I believed that I came forth from God.
Where is that, Larry?
That is John 16:27.
John 16:27.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I started in 23, but down at 27 is where, you know, that where the whole thing was referenced. But down at 27, the Father loves the ones who loved Jesus and have believed that he came forth from God. It doesn't say, my Father loves you because you're a human being, we're born of woman. Amen. It says, because you have done certain things and you have demonstrated it, you know, believing is demonstrating what you think.
Amen. See, we want the Lord to, that's good scripture, Larry. We want the Lord to move sovereignly without us having to do anything at all. That's really where we are. And Larry, we actually want the Lord to, we want the Lord to bless the ungodly. My wife was at a Bible study last night, Roger, with a woman who goes to your church, by the way. And Michelle's, you know, my wife is just sweet little thing. And she just said she can't believe how blind this woman is. Just blind. Not to judge. This whole not to judge thing. And because, in fact, Larry, the woman told Michelle that we're supposed to judge Christians, but we're not supposed to judge other people. So she's really, really, really confused. And the point I'm trying to make, I'm going to have to get up here and go in a second, is we got people bound up with stuff that isn't even true. It's not even true. And because they're not even true, they're in bondage. They're in spiritual bondage. I'm 63 years old. I was thinking about it again yesterday. My goodness. I was playing golf with a guy last night who's 65 and a year ago was diagnosed with cancer. And I'm looking at him. He ain't going to be around long. It happened that quickly to us in our lives. And all the stuff we worried about, and all these people who scare us, and all these people who growl at us, and all the people who hinder us, and all the people who keep us wrapped up in grave clothes. It's time we loosed them and let them go. That's what I say. Get ourselves free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm going to have to go. You guys can carry it from there. I know you can. God bless you all, and pray for me. We do great stuff down there in Mississippi. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Jared, did you want to say something? Or did you just say goodbye? Guys, it is National Day of Prayer. I want to say a quick prayer, and you can say whatever you want to say. So if you would, please, Lord God in heaven, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, please hear our prayers, petitions, and praises. Lord, we thank you above all for your gift of salvation, free, free. It's there. It's for us. Lord, we thank you for being born in the greatest nation in the world, Lord. But Lord, we've squandered the gifts that you've given us. We've poked you in the eye. We've turned our backs on you. Lord, forgive us. Keep your hand of protection on us, Lord. The remnant, those that would do your will, Lord, clear the path for them. Let others notice, Lord. Let others just come with us. And your word says that where there's unity, you command a blessing. And Lord, this country could sure use a blessing right now. Lord, we should care not who's going to be the next president of the United States, because it makes little difference if your church is a salt and light that it should be, and we have not been. Lord, please awaken this nation. Let us see what it is that you would have us do, and let us ultimately glorify you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, guys. Amen.
Larry, what do you think? You got anything?
Yeah, this changes the subject just a little bit from the National Day of Prayer thing and stuff, but, you know, I had an interaction on a social network chat thing last night that I used to go to years ago regularly. And I didn't run across any of my old friends that were on there or anything, but I ran across a couple of new folks that I just met last night, and their Lord prompted me to share a couple of the truths that we've been sharing over the last, since I've been, you know, been privileged to be here a part of this panel. And so I shared just one of them, and my goodness, this was in, quote, the Christian section of this chapter in Mary. And you would not believe the anger and the vindictiveness that was directed towards me for sharing a very simple truth. And I didn't say it was my idea. I said, this is what the Bible says. Let's read it. You know? But boy, anyway, you know, that got me to thinking about something that the Spirit taught me during those months I spent in jail waiting for that trial that never happened. Now, Jesus told his disciples one time, he says, you know, all manner of sin will be forgiven man except for blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Now, when you read that in the scripture, you have to, as a geometry teacher at one time, I started thinking, I says, okay, now Jesus, if Jesus says any sin except this one can be forgiven, the Father will forgive it except for this one sin, I says, then, first of all, any group that says there are seven deadly sins hadn't read the Bible, or else don't believe what Jesus says, one of the two. Okay? And then I said, okay, what is? It would be kind of important to know what that sin is to make sure if I ever got close to it, I wouldn't be, you know, I wouldn't fall into it, right? The normal thinking person, I think, would want to follow that course of action. And the Holy Spirit led me to the book of Hebrews, of all places. And if you guys would turn there for a second, I want to share something with you. Now, this is, as a geometry teacher using step-by-step logic, and someone who's read the Bible. Okay, Hebrews chapter 6. Everybody there? All right. The fundamental things that I kind of harp on a little bit there in verses 1 and 2. And it says, you know, we're going to leave these fundamental things. We're going to start talking about some deep things here now. And the very first thing they talk about after they list the fundamental things is this. Let's look at verse 4. And this we will, verse 3, let's go back to verse 3, and, you know, they listed the fundamental things. He says, and this we will do, we'll leave those fundamental things, if God permits. And then he says, the very next thing he says, the first thing he says after talking about the listing the fundamentals is this, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tested the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age that come. All these are connected with an and, so they are all part of this statement. They're, you know, it's not a or, it's not a some of them apply, some don't. These all apply. It says, if they, who's they? The ones who've done all these things he just listed, who all these things have just happened in their lives that he just listed. If they fall away, and he says it's impossible for those, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. It's impossible for a Christian who has had these things that were just listed in verse 4 happen in their Christian walk. If they fall away, it's impossible for them to renew again. Now, that sounds to me like that is doing something that you will not be forgiven for. If the word says it's impossible for them to be renewed again, that means they're not forgiven. So when Jesus says there's only one thing that a man can do that he will not be forgiven for, and that's blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, and then there's another place in the Bible that lists a specific thing, a specific circumstance, that it's impossible for renewal to repentance, then the two have to be the same thing. If they're not the same thing, then there were actually at least two things that you couldn't be forgiven for. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost and what's listed in Hebrews 6:4. Now, okay? It's 4 and 5. So if there's two or more things that you can't be forgiven for, then Jesus lied. I don't think that's the case. I think Jesus spoke truly. Therefore, these verses in Hebrews chapter 6 must be, by logic and by accepting that Jesus spoke the truth, this must be the definition of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And I don't care what any commentary back in Matthew chapter 12, where it talks about that verse, I don't care what any commentary says the definition of blasphemy in the Holy Ghost is. The Bible, by logic, dictates that these two verses, Hebrews 6, 4, and 5, are the very definition and essence of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And I want you to notice, only a born-again, spirit-filled Christian can commit that blasphemy. A lost person who hasn't come to Jesus yet cannot do anything that will keep him away from God. Anything he do can be forgiven. But once you've become born-again, spirit-filled, in the church, tested the power, all these things that were just listed, if that's happened to you, and then you, what it says, fall away here, now that you know, if you start looking at the Greek for the fall away, it's more than, you know, backslide or something like that. That fall away is a vehement denial and an actual attack upon the previous. In other words, not only fall away and backslide, but you actually start vehemently, like that preacher came mighty close to, I think, in that article against Coach. He was really attacking the things that Coach stands for. See, and he said he was a former fundamentalist. Sounds to me like he fits the definition of Hebrews 6, 4, and 5. Just something to throw out there for you guys to get your teeth into and chew and let the Spirit teach you on.
So we can fall off the wagon?
Yeah, you can fall off the wagon and then start cussing at the horses, you know. That's basically what it's all about.
Interesting. We all have different software, Larry, and we all process things differently. It's just amazing the personal epiphanies that each of us can have and how we relate to one another. And then there's the once saved, always saved. What about that, Larry?
Well, I never see that in the Bible.
Okay.
I see verses that are twisted to try to mean that, but I never see that. I see in them all through the book of Revelation, if you overcome, you know, talking to those that have already made it, but if you overcome, then, you know, if you don't overcome, guess what? So I never see once saved, always saved in the Bible.
It's interesting you bring that up. I have argued with so-called Calvinists a lot about that scripture, and they always throw back that, that's talking about people who never were really saved. And I think the language is clear that the person that Hebrews 4 is talking to is a person who has tasted the truth.
Yes.
Has eaten the bread of life and drank the blood, communed with brethren, and for some reason turned away. It's hard to imagine that, but evidently it happens. I think it kind of answers to me a little bit when we look at false teachers, false preachers, and a lot of them are named. You see them on Facebook a lot of times, people saying this guy, that guy. And I wonder how in the world can a man read from the same book I'm reading from and be in a whole different direction and stand and collect millions of dollars in the name of God but preach a different gospel. I just don't know how that can happen. And maybe this verse kind of shows that it can happen and will happen. Part of the great falling away.
Yeah, absolutely. It took me a long time to chew and swallow on these two verses, but they actually really fell into place when I started teaching geometry, analytical geometry. If A is true, then you can logically conclude that B is also true. If they're both true, then, you know, I mean, you just follow logic step by step. And when you apply that kind of thinking to the words of the Bible, there are a lot of things in here that just fall into place in what might be seem to be a contradiction from the normal concept of what is taught and preached about these verses. All of a sudden, the contradictions are gone. The Bible is lockstep in unity with itself.
Amen, brother.
Rich, what about you?
Hey, guys.
Guys.
Oh, I just want to tell you all how much I love you.
Yeah.
And how much I appreciate all of you guys in the morning. And just thankful that I have a chance to read his word with you guys and get some morsels out of it. I just want to tell you how much I love that.
Ditto here, brother.
Yeah, hey, it's Rich. I really appreciate you guys allowing me in here. I need this. I've been looking for discipleship. I finally, after years, have found some godly men. You know, and just like he said a minute ago, you know, I not only are you here in the morning, you're here in mourning. I mean, this is really somber and sad what's going on with us here. But, you know, I just can't, you know, I don't want to just go on patting you because I know that's not what you want. But I'm here to tell you, I appreciate you guys very much.
How were you looking, Rich? Like, where were you looking? What were you?
Well, you know, I think Larry said, you know, I mean, this is hard to understand. Or Weave or somebody said, you know, how are they reading the same book? And I don't think they can be. I mean, that's the reason I left the church, because I read the book and it didn't line up with what they were telling me. And I talked to a friend the other day that's been a godly man. He's been a moniker faith to me in direction, and after years he hated to see me leave the church, you know, and I understand. And I seen him the other day and he's left the church. He just couldn't take it no more. He was on the board. They wanted to build more wings, gymnasiums, and he finally just said enough, you know. And when I hear Coach say there's hundreds of thousands of people, I truly believe that. There are men everywhere that just don't know how to get up and get out. They want to. They just don't know how. And I don't know, guys. We got to do something, like Coach Dave. You guys stir me every morning, man, to get up and do something. And nobody else will do it.
We're doing that on purpose, by the way.
I know. You know, I went. I tried to go back. I tried to go back, and there was a discipleship course that was pre-approved by the pastor. And there was there was 10 of us there. And you know, the first question was, by a show of hands, how many believe you are a disciple and servant of Jesus Christ? And 9 hands went up immediately. And I was the rock in the shoe. I mean, I just, you know, and further discussion, they tried to convince me that if somebody comes and sticks a bullet to my head or a gun to my head, and I, as long as I don't denounce Christ, I'm a disciple. And you know, I told them, I disagree. I read my Bible, and disciples didn't sit around waiting for somebody to stick a gun to their head. They went out looking for the guy with the gun. They're going to make it happen, you know. And I finally just walked away, and nobody has ever called me in 5 years, not a one of them. And then I meet Coach last weekend one time, and Monday morning he's wanting to know where I'm at, you know. And I just, this is where I need to be. I appreciate you guys.
Okay, I think the show is over at 8 o'clock, but we're still here, right?
All right.
Larry?
It's still live.
Here.
Oh, it's still live. Okay, yeah, dude, watch out. No.
Go over.
Yeah.
Tell you guys out there. See you tomorrow. All right.
God bless. Okay, Rich, that was you that was just speaking about